Of John this morning, if you want to turn your Bibles, John chapter 5, the Gospel of John, and chapter 5, as we talk about the resurrection. Now, for a Christian, every Sunday is Easter. Amen? Because that's why we go to church on Sunday. It's not because the Catholic Church told us to. It's because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And so every Sunday we come together and celebrate the fact that our Savior came back from the dead on the first day of the week. Praise the Lord. Here in John chapter 5, Jesus begins to discuss the resurrection with the people. Beginning in verse 25 of John chapter 5, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father with which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." So we're going to talk this morning about the resurrection. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we love you and how we are so thankful to be here this morning. Lord, you promised that those that be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. And I pray, as we plant ourselves in your house, that we would grow in your word. We would grow in our faith. I pray that this morning the Holy Spirit would take the word of God and apply it to our hearts and use it to change us, to refine us, to convict us, whatever the need might be, Lord. And we pray that our Savior Jesus Christ would be magnified and lifted up in this service. May your will be done in every heart. We love you and pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ prophesied of a day when, as he says in verse 25, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now God was gracious enough to actually give us a glimpse of this great event way back at the time of Calvary. And that is found in the book of Matthew chapter 27. If you want to turn over there, it's of the four Gospels, this event is only recorded in Matthew. And it's really quite an amazing event that took place. You know, a lot of legends and so forth have their foundations in biblical truths. And we hear way too much today about zombies and all this, people coming back from the dead and so forth. You know what? In the time of Jesus, people came back from the dead. Look at John or Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. This is right when Jesus died on the cross. Notice it says, verse 51, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." That is the veil that was between the holy place and the holy of holies. Only the high priest was allowed to go through that veil once a year to make offerings for the people. God tore it from top to bottom to say, there's no more veil. Now we can go directly to the throne of God through Jesus Christ. But look on in the next verse. "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." This happened. Somebody knocks on your door right after Jesus Christ dies on the cross, and it's someone that you know that died. And they came out of the grave. And God gave man just a small glimpse of what's going to happen at the resurrection. Jesus Christ's resurrection was the beginning, but it's only the beginning. We, one day, will have our bodies reunited with our souls in heaven in the great resurrection. But it all starts with having life. Notice it says in verse 26 of our passage, John 5, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he was declaring to the universe that he had power over death. And only he has now the power to give us life. Because the Bible says God is life. And Jesus Christ, when we accept him as our Savior, when we're born again, he gives us eternal life. Because he conquered death. Go to John chapter 1, if you would, in verse 4. And we'll see in this passage that the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the source of life. John chapter 1, verse 4. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." This is talking about Jesus. In him was life. Now, if you will go to John chapter 10 and verse 28. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And look what it says in verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life." That's Jesus. "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Excuse me, I felt that coming. "I give unto them eternal life." Notice it says, John chapter 11, verse 25, the next chapter over, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Jesus Christ didn't just resurrect. He is the resurrection. He didn't just come back from the dead. He is life. And he gives life to those who will believe on him. And that's really what Easter's all about, isn't it? That Jesus Christ came back from the dead and is alive. Every other religion of the world has a founder of some sort, and they're all dead. Jesus Christ came back. And so the Bible says that he has now, because he came back from the dead, John chapter 5, verse 27, he says he has authority to execute judgment. Jesus Christ, when he returns, we've talked about this in Sunday school, he's not coming back as a babe in a manger. He's coming back to conquer and to execute wrath. Now, praise God, if you're saved, you'll be coming back with him for that judgment. Because you'll join him in heaven prior to that point through the rapture. But Jesus Christ, here in verse 28 of our passage, begins to talk about the great resurrection. Notice John 5:28. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves." I think that word "all" means all. Even if we look it up in the Greek, it's going to mean all. "All that are in the graves shall hear his voice." You mean the voice of Jesus has the power to raise the dead and put bodies back together? Absolutely. Because the voice of Jesus had the power to make the universe. He spoke and it was done. When he returns to the earth, the Bible says, "Out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, by with it he shall judge the nations." That's not talking about a literal sword. It's talking about his spoken word. And that word, that voice, has the power to raise the dead. And you say, "Oh, what about people that were cremated? What about people that were dumped in the ocean?" You think God cares about any of that? God made the universe. God knows where every atom is. That's no issue for him. It says, "All shall hear his voice." Now, the voice of Jesus, if you go to Mark chapter 4, the voice of Jesus, like I say, it's so powerful it made the universe, but even while he was on earth and was in a human form, he still every now and then gave his disciples just a glimpse of the power that was in the voice of Jesus Christ. Look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. The Bible says that he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. All he did was speak and controlled the wind and the sea. That's the power of the spoken voice of Jesus Christ. And this same voice, the Bible says, will one day speak, and it says, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And notice John chapter 5, verse 29. This is the heart of our passage here. And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So all you have to do is do good and you'll go to heaven, right? That's what everybody teaches. That's what most people believe. Just do good and you'll go to heaven. Well, what does Jesus mean? Well, we're going to talk about it in a moment. But first, let's talk about this resurrection of life. Let's go back to Job, of all places. Job chapter 19, if we could, and verse 25. Job 19:25. Oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. You say, what about Genesis? That was written by Moses. Now, it records creation, but it was written way after the time of Job. And in the midst of Job's suffering, Job made a declaration. Now, Job had probably lived in a time where he could have spoken to maybe Adam or maybe Seth. Because remember, these people lived for 800 or 900 years. And notice what he said in Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job believed in a resurrection. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Jesus Christ, if you go to Luke chapter 14, told a parable. And then he talked about us having feasts and how we should not only invite our best friends, but sometimes invite people that are down and out. And notice the statement he made here in Luke 14, verse 13. He said, when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So we're getting a little bit more information about who's going to be a part of this resurrection of life. It's the resurrection of the just. So not only do we have to be good, we have to be just to be part of this resurrection. So we're learning more about it. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and see what Paul has to say, that there's actually going to be a spiritual body provided for us. Before we get our resurrected body. Notice 1 Corinthians 15:44. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now the Bible tells us, Philippians 3, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And so the Bible talks about this temporary tabernacle that we're going to be given. When we're taken away through death or the rapture, we get to spend our time with Jesus in heaven. Our souls immediately go to be with the Lord. We get a temporary body, but that doesn't mean there's not going to still one day be a resurrection of all bodies. And we'll be reunited with our body, and it will be perfect. Just like, as it says in Philippians 3:21, fashioned like unto his glorious body. And all you have to do is be good and just, and you can have part in the resurrection of life. So, everybody who's never sinned once, raise your hand, you get to go to heaven. I guess we're in trouble, huh? Sounds like we need some help. Maybe justification through the blood of Jesus Christ. which the Bible says if we trust Him, He will justify us. He will make us righteous. The Bible says God hath made Him to be sin for us, and knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, what happens when we get saved is God puts our sins on Jesus and gives us the righteousness of Jesus. We become just. We become perfect. It's hard to imagine because we still make mistakes. We still sin. We still live in this sinful world, in this sinful body. But doctrinally speaking, it's all done. The sins are gone, and we now have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we are justified. Isn't that exciting? So if you want to be part of the resurrection of life, the only way to have that is to take life from, as we read, Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. And only He can offer that life through salvation. And that's the only way to avoid the second resurrection, which is the resurrection of damnation. Now let's go to Revelation 20 if we could. And we'll talk more about that in a few moments. But here in Revelation 20, we're told about this first resurrection. And then he mentions a second death in the same verse. Notice Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Sounds like it's best to be part of that first resurrection. Amen? Because we don't want to have anything to do with that second death. Which, look on down in verse 11 of Revelation 20. Now we read about the resurrection of damnation. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Now, how can dead people stand and be judged? Because in the Bible, death and life has nothing to do with the body. It has everything to do with Jesus. You know, 1 John 5, verse 12. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." We are born dead, and we will stay dead forever until we receive the life that only Jesus Christ can give. So back to our passage, Revelation 20, verse 13. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. So, because Jesus said so, there's going to be a resurrection of everyone. But the dead, they have their bodies resurrected only long enough to then be cast into the lake of fire. Imagine. To be judged and then cast into the lake of fire. And he even mentions those in the sea. God will take care of it. God knows where everybody is, where every piece of everybody is. But notice he finishes there in verse 15. "And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You got to have life. Your name has to be in the book of life. And if that is the case, praise God, you will be part of the resurrection of life. We were given a glimpse of it through Jesus Christ coming back from the dead, through some of these people in Jerusalem actually coming out of the graves. But one day, every single human being that's ever lived will be resurrected. Their bodies will be resurrected. Some to the resurrection of life, some to the resurrection of damnation. Now, if you would look at John chapter 12, Jesus makes it very clear that the way to the resurrection of damnation is through the rejection of Jesus Christ. And I can hear people say, "Well, I never rejected Jesus." When you don't accept Jesus, you reject Jesus. There is no middle ground. Jesus said, "He that's not with me is against me." Notice John 12:48. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So rejecting Jesus and receiving not his words, notice God says they're synonymous. They're the same thing. You must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we do, we have a choice. We can accept Christ or we can reject Christ. If we accept Christ, praise God, we are given life, eternal life. "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And we can have a part in the resurrection of life. But those who reject Christ, Jesus here in John 5:29 calls it the resurrection of damnation. Now, if we could go to John chapter 3 quickly and look at verse 36. Or sorry, verse 18 first. John 3:18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned." Hallelujah. If you believe on Jesus Christ, if you take him as your Savior, you are not condemned. Look at the rest of the verse. "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Notice that word "already." What do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's already done. You're already on your way. You have to believe on Jesus Christ. And then you won't be condemned. Now look down to verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Hallelujah. But look at the rest of the verse. "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And that wrath will be culminated at the resurrection of damnation. And all these bodies will be brought out of the sea, out of the graves, out of hell. They'll stand before the great white throne of Jesus Christ. The books will be opened. They'll be judged out of those things which are written in the books. Sounds like every sin will be there. And then the Bible says they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Very sobering to think about the resurrection of damnation, but very exciting as Christians to think about the resurrection of life. And that God allowed us to be part of that as a gift. He paid the price. When Jesus hung on that cross and said, "It is finished," the Bible says that verse in Matthew 27, he gave up the ghost, and it says, then the bodies came out of the grave. It was done. It was paid for. And when Jesus Christ came back from the dead on that first Sunday morning, nobody knows the date, by the way. It's all a guess. But sometime in the, probably April, Jesus Christ did what no one's ever done. Through his own power, he came back from the dead. And spent a few days with his disciples, maybe 50 days, went back to heaven, said, "Now I want you to tell others what I've done." And you know, it all comes down to the Word of God. There's a passage over in Luke chapter 16. If you're turning over there, we'll close there this morning. And in this story, we have a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man goes to hell and the poor man goes to heaven. Well, we'll call it heaven, but it was actually paradise and or Abraham's bosom and a place of suffering because it was pre-cross, but we won't get it all complicated. The point is that the man who was in torment said to Abraham, "I have 5 brethren. Can you send someone back to tell them about this place so they don't come here?" And I want you to see what Abraham's answer was. Verse 29 of Luke 16. "Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, this was prophetic at the time. Folks, 2,000 years ago, someone rose from the dead. Do most people believe? No. So it was true. Someone came back from the dead. We date our calendars by his life. Hundreds of people were there when he ascended to heaven. It's a fact recorded for us by our Creator. And yet, how many people still refuse to believe, though one rose from the dead? And that's what he said. If they will not hear the word of God, they won't be persuaded. They must believe the gospel of Jesus Christ to receive eternal life and to be promised a place in the resurrection of life. If they choose to reject, as we read, they're condemned already, then they'll have their place in the resurrection of damnation. I hope this morning it just makes you that much more thankful to be born again. Amen? And to have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. That's what Easter's about. Jesus Christ conquered death. Jesus Christ offers through what He did eternal life. Hallelujah. And I hope that you know you've received it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ.